And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Moses asked, who should I say sent me? Who, you know, what God or am I representing? And God said, just tell them that I am. This is what you need to tell the children of Israel, that I am have sent you. I am. That next slide. I am. Look at this. This is powerful. This is absolutely powerful. This takes away all of our excuses. Too old, too young, no money, no time, fearful, not enough energy. This takes away all of our excuses. This took away all of Moses' excuses. God's response to Moses was one word.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with his message titled, Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, Substituting Excuses for Faith. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, Substituting Excuses for Faith.
All right, this morning I'm going to ask that you would open in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, as we continue our series, Overcoming the Lion in the Street. Overcoming the Lion in the Street. And we're basing that on the passage in Proverbs 26:13, where the lazy man, it says, will not go out into the street because he said there's a lion out there. And what does a lion represent? The lion represents an excuse. The lion is just an excuse for him not to go out and do whatever it is that he needs to do. And once again, if we search his life and get to the root of the problem, we see that the root of the problem with him was that he was just flat out lazy. He was slothful. And so he used the lion as an excuse. We are going to continue on with looking at another form or another root of excuses, and that is found in the life of Moses. And I'm going to read these verses, and then we will get into our message for this morning. But the first verse that we want to read is found in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Second excuse, in verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, The God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? Third objection, chapter 4 and verse 1. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Fourth excuse, verse 10 of chapter 4. And Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And then the fifth excuse, which really is just a flat out denial and an unwillingness to do what God is telling him to do in verse 13. And he said, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. In other words, one translation puts it like this, Lord, send somebody else. Send somebody else. Amen. As I share this message today, you know, one of the things that I realize, and, you know, I'm not trying to be critical of anybody, but, you know, I know that whenever I start preaching sometimes, you know, some people just check out, you know, and I pick them back up, you know, at the end of the message when they say, when I say, let us pray. You know, some people check because they just don't want to hear, you know, what it is that's being said. You know, that's yeah, that's not applicable to me. That, you know, that doesn't apply to me. You know, and some folk, you know, just find a way to zone out, you know, whether it be fantasizing on something else or falling asleep, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, I heard about the preacher. You know, I was thinking, I said, you know what, if I could put this thing in a bottle for people to fall asleep when a sermon starts. See, sometimes I think that there is sleep activation by the sermon. And if I could just find a way to bottle that, we could build a new church without anybody having to give. We don't take any additional money. You know, we could just put that in a bottle, man. I heard about one pastor, you know, he was preaching, and this guy fell asleep, and he started snoring in the service. And the pastor stopped in the middle of a sermon. He told his wife, he said, hey, he's snoring, you know, wake him up. And his wife said, you wake him up. You're the one that put him to sleep. So, so you know, don't zone out on me this morning. I said all that to say, don't zone out on me this morning. You know, we got something that, you know, we need to share, and we want you to stay tuned in to what thus saith the Lord. The title of my message today is, and some of you may remember the song from back in the 70s, Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing. Ain't nothing like the real thing. Excuse my grammar, excuse my English, but ain't nothing like the real thing. And so what am I talking about here? I'm talking about substituting excuses for faith. Instead of you having faith and trust in God, you substitute excuses for having a faith and trust in God. And I'm here to tell you today, there ain't nothing like the real thing. There ain't nothing like good old, genuine, down-to-earth, trusting God, belief in God, faith in God. Nothing like that. And so we want to encourage you today to say, don't substitute excuses for genuine faith, which is what Moses was trying to do. Moses was trying to substitute his excuses for, and I'm going to show you this morning. It's very clear from the scripture. He was trying to substitute his excuses for his faith. As we look at the excuses and the fact that they are a manifestation of an underlying problem, if you'll move on to that next slide, that excuses are a manifestation of an underlying problem. Last week, we looked at Adam and Eve, and we see that they offered excuses. Adam said, the woman that you gave me, the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. And so they played the blame game. But what was the underlying root cause of their excuses? The underlying root cause of their excuses was disobedience. God told them not to eat of the fruit of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, and they ate it. They were disobedient, and because of their disobedience, they offered excuses as to why they did what they did. And so at the root of some excuses is just plain old disobedience. The second thing, and we got about five of them that we're going to cover during the course of this series, but the second reason people offer excuses is because of a lack of faith. Because of a lack of faith. Moses, even though he was called by God, even though he was anointed by God, Moses had a lack of faith. And because of his lack of faith, he begins to offer excuses. And you know, we're no different than Moses. Somebody asks us to teach a class, the excuses begin. Somebody asks us to serve in the nursery, the excuses begin. Somebody asks us to share our faith with a friend or neighbor, the excuses begin. Somebody asks us to help meet a need that another person in the body has, the excuses begin. And so we are just filled with excuses and reasons for not doing what it is that God has called us to do. But my brothers and sisters, sometimes what we need to do is to have a trust and faith in God. And if we have a trust and faith in God, if God tells us to do something, we won't offer excuses. But we'll say, yes, Lord, yes to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, and when your spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer will be, yes, Lord, yes. Ain't nothing like the real thing. I gave the illustration, I believe, a couple of years ago about this man who came from France to do this tightrope walking across Niagara Falls, and this promoter thought that it would be a good event to raise some money. And so the reporter began to get a bunch of people to come and watch this man walk across Niagara Falls. And he said that, I'm going to not only walk across Niagara Falls, but I'm going to walk across Niagara Falls pushing a wheelbarrow. Now, if walking across just by yourself is not enough, now he's going to push a wheelbarrow across. And so the man got up there, the crowd gathered, and as they got up there, he began to walk across Niagara Falls pushing a wheelbarrow. He got to the other side, and everybody just broke out in applause because they were so overwhelmed by watching him accomplish this feat. He went to the promoter, and he said, do you believe that I could walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope pushing a wheelbarrow? And the promoter said, yeah, I believe you can do it. He said, do you really believe that I can do it? He said, I believe you can do it. He said, no, do you really believe that I can do it? And the man said, look, he said, I just now saw you do it. He said, I believe you can do it. He said, well, I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to push the wheelbarrow again. And this time I want you to get in the wheelbarrow. See, that's what faith in God is. Sometimes faith in God is getting in the wheelbarrow. Sometimes it's stepping out, you know, not knowing what the end is going to be, but just knowing that God has called you to step out. I'm thinking of Abraham, where the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that Abraham went to a place where he didn't even know he was going. He just stepped out in obedience to God. And as I think about the survey that I gave a couple of weeks ago, let me just throw that back up on the screen again. But we asked Bethany members, if you had a goal in life and you haven't accomplished that goal, what is the reason that you have not accomplished the goal that you had in life? And we see the overwhelming or the biggest part of the pie was given to just not enough time. 35% of you said, I don't have enough time. 31% said that you lacked resources, you know, whether that was, you know, the money to go back to college, or whether it was the money to go on a missions trip, or whether it was, you know, some type of skill set, but you lacked the resources to be able to do it. And then 22% of the people just said fear, that they were afraid to step out and pursue their goal. 6% had no excuse, and then another 6% said that they were too old or just didn't have, you know, the energy. They felt that, you know, their time had come and gone, and they really, you know, couldn't accomplish their goal. Now, the next slide is very interesting, and I put this up here a couple of weeks ago. The question was also asked, did the Lord give the goal to you? And overwhelmingly, 81% of the people said that God gave me this goal to do, that this is directly from God. 14% said no, and 5% said that they weren't sure. Now, what does this say? This says that 81% of the people here have something in their heart that God gave them to do. And they had a reason, or we can even drop it a step down and say an excuse for what it is that they didn't do. How tragic that is. To know that God has given you something in your spirit that he put on your heart for you to do, and you haven't done it for whatever excuse you want to use. Now, I think that after we hear the message this morning, we're going to see that all excuses as to why you're not doing something that the Lord has given you to do will be taken away. every last excuse. And the only reason that you're going to be able to give is what Moses said in verse 13 of chapter 4. Look what Moses said. When it comes down to it, if God has put something in your spirit and you found an excuse not to do it, then the only reason that you have left is found in chapter 4 and verse 13, where he said, and I'm putting it in the words of the New Living Translation, "Lord, send somebody else." But you'll notice, look at the very next verse. The very next verse. "And the Lord, and the anger of the Lord was kindled." My. "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses." Why? Because Moses was trying to give excuses as to why he couldn't do what it was that God called him to do. And I believe that Moses' biggest problem is what we find in chapter 3 and verse 14. Look there. "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am." Moses asked, who should I say sent me? What God or am I representing? And God said, just tell them that I am. This is what you need to tell the children of Israel, that I am have sent you. I am. That next slide. I am. Look at this. This is powerful. This is absolutely powerful. This takes away all of our excuses. Too old, too young, no money, no time, fearful, not enough energy. This takes away all of our excuses. This took away all of Moses' excuses. God's response to Moses was one word. Four consonants of the Hebrew language without the vowels. And it represents the name Yahweh. If you were to fill in that, and that's Yod Heh Vav Heh, or in English it's YHWH, which is Yahweh, and then you put the vowels in there, what did God tell Moses? He said, tell them I am sent you. Tell them that Yahweh sent you. Now, what does that mean? This is what's known as the Tetragrammaton, which is the name for God without the vowels. This was the sacred name that the Jewish people had for God. It was so reverenced that they would not utter it with human lips. God said, tell them that Yahweh sent you. Tell them that I am sent you. I am refers to God's self-existence. God does not need anything outside of himself to exist, and he is the sustainer of all things that do exist. And at this very point, Moses should not have had another excuse. God said, I am. And it's that same word that God attached in the Old Testament to Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. Jehovah Nissi, God our banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Jehovah Roy, the Lord who continues to shepherd me. Jehovah Makadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. And he says that whatever need you have in your life, that I am can supply. If you're hungry, I'm the bread of life. If you're thirsty, I'm the living water. If you can't see, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you are dead, I am the resurrection and the life. If you are lost, I am the door to the sheep. Jesus is the great I am. And so what God was telling Moses is, Moses, whatever you need, I am. You just... Here, Moses, a blank check. And you write in with it. right in. Whatever it is that you need. I am. And if God has called us to do something, there's, you know, God is going to fit the bill for this new sanctuary. Now, hopefully you will be a participant in it, but God is going to foot the bill. He's either going to bless the members with the cash to be able to give to build it, or he's going to work it out. No question in my mind. If God supplies where God guides, he supplies. Where he leads, he feeds. And where he directs, he protects. God will make a way in our lives. And we don't need to have any excuses. Throw all the excuses out the window. As a matter of fact, what did it say? That God got angry with Moses because he kept giving excuses. See, you know, the problem is, you know, why do people offer excuses? Is because when they lack faith, they don't really realize who the great I am is. See, and until God opens your eyes and gives you a revelation of himself so that you can see that there is no lack or there's no need, then you will always be operating behind the eight ball. You know, I think of, and I know I've told this story here before, but it's just so apropos to the sermon this morning. I remember when Jonathan and Rachel were little, and we had gone into the 7-Eleven to get a drink. And they went in and they got their drinks, and I think my wife had given them money, and they paid for their stuff. And I went in and I was getting some stuff, so I was the last one out. And I went out and went over to pay for my stuff, and the man told me that it was like a dollar more than what I had gotten. I said, I know that this don't cost that much. And he said, well, you know, there was a little boy in here, and he didn't have enough money to pay for what he got. And he said, you see that guy over there? That's my dad, and whenever he comes, he'll take care of it. See, you know, we need to have the same attitude about God. That if God has called us to do something, then that's my Father. That's my Father. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jehovah or Yahweh Roy, the Lord who goes on shepherding me, who goes on taking care of me, who goes on supplying my needs. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And when we understand that the fact that the Lord is our shepherd, then we can step out because we know that he's going to supply whatever it is that we need. Let's look at some of Moses' excuses. The first excuse is found in chapter 3 and verse 11. Basically, Moses says that I'm undeserving, that I am undeserving. He says in chapter 3, verse 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? And you know what I've done? I brought to the pulpit this morning a bag. And you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to tell me what kind of bag this is. No, it's not a shopping bag. That's a good try. What kind of bag is it? Excuse bag. There you go. A bag of excuses. And you can reach down in the bag and you can begin to pull out any excuse that you want. They're all in here.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, Substituting Excuses for Faith. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, Substituting Excuses for Faith, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, Substituting Excuses for Faith. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, Substituting Excuses for Faith. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, Dr. Glaze has authored 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.